into my brain. Think about you, think about me, thinking about what we could be. Can you give me something I can't live without? Can you give me love beyond the shadow of a doubt? Can you give me, can you give me something I know inside? Can you give me love beyond the shadow? When I was younger, I had better vision. I could see things coming, I could smell collisions. I could read a smile like a road map, baby. But now I don't know, really don't know if yes means yes or maybe. Can you give me something I can't live without? Can you give me love beyond the shadow of a doubt? Can you give me, can you give me something I know inside out? Can you give me love beyond the shadow? It's a virgin road. You take the turn off, but you just don't know where it'll lead. Where will this lead? But you love the view of the balcony, and I'm thinking about you, thinking about. I've got room for two. You're ready to travel on, do you know with who? Don't be afraid to speak your heart to me, baby. Don't you say yes, never say yes, if yes just means maybe. Can you give me something I can't live without? Can you give me love beyond the shadow of a doubt? Can you give me, can you give me something I can't live without? Give me love beyond the shadow. Can you give me something I can't live without? Give me love beyond the shadow of a doubt. Can you give me
David Sarita is a singer, songwriter, actor, pianist, composer, voice coach, producer, and educator. He has written musicals, released CDs, and performed at many music festivals across Canada. And he was one of the first openly gay recording artists in Canada, with his first release, Chivalry Lives, coming out in 1981. His last CD, The Blue Guide, released in 1996, looked at love and loss and the journey of a relationship from infatuation to devotion to the death of the beloved. His upcoming album, Boyfriend, is a collection of songs about finding a way to love and live after a world-shaking loss. He's in Guelph for a solo show at Magnolia Cafe on Friday, October the 24th. We caught up with him at home in Port Dalhousie. So it's great to talk to you today, David.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been about a year since we saw each other, I think.
Actually, it was, because it was at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, which took place this past weekend. And obviously that was a wonderful time to meet lots of people. I know, unfortunately, you couldn't be there this year, but it's nice to be able to catch up today. We're actually talking over Skype, and Skype can be a wonderful way to interview, because if you can't be in the studio, the next best place to be is on Skype. So tell us a little bit about your music. I think we should start at the beginning, because you are a singer, a songwriter, an actor, a pianist, a composer, a voice coach, a producer, and an educator. And that is a lot of things. And I think for the sake of our audience who may not be completely familiar with you, or even if they are somewhat familiar with you, it's always good to start at the beginning and talk about how you got into music.
Okay, well, I always loved to sing. I've always loved to sing. And that's a very, singing is a very central thing to me. It's a very visceral thing to me. I feel alive when I sing. And I think a lot of singers feel that too. I've heard them say this. They feel most alive when they're singing. The joy of singing is something that is so wonderful. And when I feel that, if I'm listening to a performer, I immediately know that. I feel at ease and I get carried away and I just go into another zone. And so I know that as an audience member, when I'm listening to music or a singer, I feel totally at home when that singer is in command, and totally at home and feeling the joy of music. So it started as a very primal, you know, thing as a child. I loved to sing. We had a swing set in the backyard, one of these old kind of metal swing sets, and my mom got a phone call from the woman across the lane saying, "Mrs. Sarita, I'm afraid your son is going to go over the top of the swing set. He's singing Home on the Range at the top of his lungs." Sure enough, I was like, whoa, 3 years old. So, and that love of music has always been that, you know, and the excitement of music and the passion of music. Then I got into more kind of formalized training, I guess about, you know, when I was 10 or 11, started taking piano lessons. We didn't have a piano, so they would give you those cardboard keyboards that you folded out and you'd actually practice on a piece of cardboard so you could get your fingering right. And then you got to use the rickety piano on the stage of the school, you know, in turn to kind of play things. And I remember going and practicing at a neighbor's house, and instead of playing, you know, the little da 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 da, I just kind of put that aside and kind of just started making stuff up. And the woman said, "Well, that sounds very interesting. What are you playing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just kind of fooling around." Well, fast forward to years later, the classical piano training, I knew it was going to lead to either working as a piano teacher or, you know, playing in classical concerts, and I didn't love it that much. At that time, my teenage years, I started getting involved in theater, and that was pulling me away from classical piano, and so I felt really torn it for a time. Eventually, theater won out when I was a teenager. Kept going with that. Sang, you know, at parties with friends of mine, but went off to acting school. And that was great. I really loved it. Thought I was going to be an actor. Graduated when I was about 20. And I got out of school and I auditioned for all these theater companies out west, and even came east and auditioned, and didn't get hired. And went back to Edmonton. And I thought, well, this is really weird. I feel really good. And, you know, I'd done some professional theater even as early as 13. I wonder why I wasn't getting hired. And then I realized I was only getting put up for roles where I was a teenager, because I looked like I was about 6 or 7 years younger than 20 when I was on stage. So I was going a bit nuts because I wanted to perform and I wasn't getting work as an actor. So I started writing songs because I was restless and I wanted my creativity to have an outlet. And so that's where I started writing songs and putting together the performance ideas that I got as an actor in theater school, and my musical ideas, which were coming from everywhere, and the classical training gave me kind of underpinning. So it was a combo, and I guess mostly the voice, really. I really used my voice training from theater school, which, you know, your voice is your voice. If you train as an actor and you train well, the training is so that you open up your voice so that you can express whatever emotion, whatever thought you want, so that you can work with text. I thought, well, perfect for a singer. Tie that up to my love of music and see where the melodies go, you know, and see where you can go. And that's kind of what I've done since day one as a singer-songwriter. Where could this go? Where could we go next?
But I think you split your time predominantly between being a singer-songwriter and also a composer for musical theater. Is that by right?
Yeah. But I see the two things as totally together. I mean, they happen in different venues, under different auspices, but they're the same thing. It's all about creating music, whether you're creating music in a club or on stage at a festival or within a theater. You're still creating that moment, which you hope is going to be magical and draw people in to that world of the song. Whether or not you're singing as David Sarita or whether someone is singing my music as a cast member in a show.
Do you still feel as fulfilled listening to other people perform as you would if you were actually performing the music yourself?
Well, interesting you said that, because I was actually hired to be the music director for a show, a musical, about Joni Mitchell. So it was entirely Joni Mitchell's songs. Was called Songs of a Prairie Girl, and it was and actually followed the thrust of an album that she released for Saskatchewan's centenary. I guess it was 2005, and this theater show developed out of that. So six women became aspects of Joni Mitchell's life and career, you know, the idealist, the painter, you know, the kind of more world-wise, slightly world-weary older woman. And the great thing about that was to dive into that music and to explore it with these, you know, actors who sang, or in some cases, singers who acted, and working with a great band as well. The drawback was that I didn't get a chance to sing. And that kind of drove me crazy, because I love that music. And I thought, you know, Joni Mitchell even appeared in drag on the cover of Don Juan's Reckless Daughter. In fact, she even, not only did she cross-dress, but she appeared as a black man, kind of pimped out, you know, on the cover of her album. And she's never, and she herself has said, I don't necessarily think of these songs as being from my perspective, but a man could just as easily sing it as a woman. So I was disappointed that we didn't do a radical kind of thing and have a male voice singing some of those songs.
Oh, that's interesting. So tell us about your own recorded music. I'm not actually sure. How many albums have you recorded?
Well, I've recorded three albums, but only one during the era of CD technology. So two prior to one called The Blue Guide. I recorded one back in 1981. And that was an interesting album because there were 10 songs and half of them were a cappella.
Which is something you're very adept at, right? I remember seeing you do a cappella at the Folk Music Contemporary Conference last year.
I love it. And I was really fortunate to be part of the Sing Toronto Vocal Arts Festival, which was an a cappella festival. And it's interesting, they didn't have a lot of solo a cappella artists. I just love how a single voice can kind of sculpt a melody into the silence, you know, and that's so exciting. It's so exciting to do that. And I love singing with choirs as well. And actually, further to that, some of my favorite music is the spirituals, the songs written by black people who were, enslaved in the, for like 16th to 19th century in the United States and beyond, but certainly the United States, Caribbean, South America. And those songs were so useful because they not only provided hope and a refuge for people, and community, but they also provided direction for people that wanted to escape on the Underground Railroad. And so those songs actually have become the foundation for a new musical I'm writing, which will be about the Underground Railroad, and it's mostly a cappella.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Have you already lined up people to be in that, or are you? Is it a case creating?
We've already done a couple of readings and one for invited public, and we had amassed a beautiful cast. But we haven't cast the final production because we're not quite there yet. But in the meantime, I'm doing what I call song circles, and so basically just inviting people from whatever community I'm in, whether it's Toronto or Owen Sound or St. Catharines. I'd like to do one in Guelph, actually, where I invite people to come and learn the spirituals. And before we do that, we do a vocal warm-up, which is call and response, just to get people's ears ready. And I don't hand out any sheet music. I don't hand out any lyrics, because the songs were, those spirituals were designed through call and response, and they were passed on by ear. It was actually illegal for black people to learn how to read or write when they were during the time of slavery. It was illegal for you to teach them, because that would have been dangerous to have, you know, people who could read and write, because then they could maybe, you know, get away, you know, easier. So, I mean, through that horrible time, we have some of the most inspiring music that the world has ever, ever seen, and it's created some of the underpinnings of all of the music that we have in North America.
Why don't we take a break for some music? What I'd like to do is to play one of the tracks from something you're working on. What would you like to play?
Well, there's a song called When the Tide Goes Out, and I've had the chance to sing that with the Echo Women's Choir. So we have a recording of a live performance of that in Toronto. So it's myself singing When the Tide Goes Out with the Echo Women's Choir of Toronto.
That's great. Well, David Sarita is my guest on Folk Roots Radio today. This is When the Tide Goes Out. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio with Jan Hall.
I dreamed everything was leaving like a tide. Leaving like a tide. No matter what I did, no matter how I tried, I dreamed my brother was against me. He was leaving too. My own brother was against me. He was leaving too. Tide rolls out. Nothing you can do.
When the tide goes out, when the tide.
That was David Sarita with When the Tide Goes Out, a live song from one of the, I would say, many projects that he's working on at this time. David is our guest at the moment. Now, he will be in Guelph on Friday, October the 24th, for a show at Magnolia Cafe with Tyler Wagler. If you're a regular listener to the show or you have visited folkrootsradio.com, you know that Tyler was our guest just a couple of weeks ago. We were chatting about his music as a singer-songwriter, and also as a bassist, because when he will be playing with David Sarita, Tyler will be doing his own set as a singer-songwriter, but will also be playing bass with David.
And what's great is that Tyler's a lovely singer, and so he'll be singing with me as well.
The thing that strikes me about your music is in some ways that there are classic singer-songwriter songs, but also there's a tremendous amount of emotion that you put into your songs. You very much want to tell a story, and some of those stories can actually be quite personal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I started writing my own music, as I said, when I partly was, I kind of joked, well, I couldn't get an acting gig, so I started writing songs. But I started writing my own music because as a young singer, singing other people's songs, I found that I was always changing the pronoun. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes I change the pronoun if the song was written by a woman to a man. I would change the pronoun so that I would be singing to a woman to keep the expectation of me singing to a heterosexual partner in the song, right? Or other in the song. And then I started getting a bit braver because I'm gay. And I came out pretty early on as a singer, and I came out with my first album in 1981, and I came out with my first album. So there weren't a lot of role models. So I started writing songs so that I wouldn't have to change the pronoun. I started writing songs because I wanted to hear, and I didn't hear, my own experience reflected specifically in songs that were out there.
You've really taken that through, because if I'm right, when you did The Blue Guide, I mean, that's an album that really speaks to a general life experience, which is love and unfortunately loss, but also, if I'm right, about one of your own personal relationships.
That's right. A key personal relationship. And although it's interesting, because The Blue Guide came out in, I think, oh, it was 20 years ago now. And it was during the time where AIDS was still an unmanageable or barely manageable disease. It was devastating, certainly to the gay community, the gay male community. And although there were no lyrics that were specifically gay within that album, anyone who was gay would say, oh, I get what this is. Oh, this sense of loss. And because of the context where I performed those songs, particularly the one called Powerful Love, which is an a cappella song, I sang it at vigils. I sang it at AIDS benefits. I sang it at the first Kumbaya benefit, which was held at the Ontario Forum that Molly Johnson created. I sang it with the Youth Outreach Choir. I sang it with the Montreal Jubilation Choir in Montreal and Connie Calder backing me up. Sang it in Vancouver at the 11th International AIDS Conference. So that song kind of became an important statement for me, saying, you don't have to be afraid. Love is stronger than fear. And I think that songs that are wrought from a personal experience have this great authenticity. And if you can find a way to shape them into creating a piece of music out of that, how wonderful. Because then no matter how dreadful and how horrible the situation is, something beautiful can come out of it if it is useful for other people to recognize their own humanity in somebody else's experience. So I think that the personal, as long as it's not just saying, oh, boo-hoo, poor me, or whatever, as long as there's art tied to the emotion, tied to a story, how wonderful. How wonderful. And the artist, that's up to the artist. And the audience will tell you if it works or not. If the audience responds, there's something there.
So tell us a little bit more about the Boyfriend Project. Does that kind of touch on some of the same themes that were in the Blue Guide as well?
It does. You know, it kind of picks up after the Blue Guide leaves off and asks the question, well, you know, if you've lost, let's say, the love of your life, wonderful term, the love of your life, if you were lucky enough to have the love of your life, how dare you presume that you could have another one? Why do you keep looking for that? Do you keep looking for it? Does life end because you've lost a relationship you thought was going to go on forever? How do we regard love, becoming romantically involved again when you're, you know, in your later years, in your middle age, certainly, right? I'm in my late 50s now. Does that mean that I can't sing any love songs? So I'm like a lot of people, like, hey, I ain't dead yet. There's lots going on here. And when you're in your 20s, you can't imagine what it would be like to be 35, you know, unless you're very smart. When you're in your 30s, you can't imagine, well, what is it really like to be 60 or 70 or 80? But look at Leonard Cohen. Have we thrown him out because he's turned 80? No, we're still listening to him and finding these great songs that are still coming from this man. So I would like that, you know, I think let's hold up Cohen as an example of, yeah, the muse is alive and well in us as long as we live. And why don't we take advantage and celebrate these perspectives and not just the predominantly youthful perspective that our culture seems to be obsessed with? So that's why, again, I said, yeah, screw it, Boyfriend. We're calling it Boyfriend.
Do you know when that project will be finally released?
If I knew, I would tell you. I can tell you that tomorrow I'm going into the studio to mix the next single. My idea of crowdfunding is that I put up a single on iTunes and people buy it. And then I put that money into my project. Or I go to Guelph and I do a show with Tyler at Magnolia Cafe. People come to the show. I make money as an artist. I put it into my project. I don't like borrowing large amounts against the future. I've done that and it's bit me in the ass before. So I'm a bit wary of that. I'll just kind of plug along. So if you like the music, buy it.
Can you tell us the name of the new single?
I haven't decided. We're either going to do Mercy Rain or I Do Believe. Both of them talk about the idea of faith. I Do Believe as a very personal song, the idea of that believing that you can actually open your heart again. It's kind of the, do you know the wonderful song Heart Like a Wheel by the McGarrigle Sisters?
Beautiful song. Yeah, I
love
the
McGarrigle. One of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard, and I love singing it, but I don't believe it. Inherently, I, on some level, I don't believe it. Early on, when your heart is broken, yes, there is that moment when you think, yes, my heart will never mend again. Mm-hmm. It's done. But later on, you realize, no, your heart can open up again because the heart is a brilliantly resilient organ. You know, our emotions can be wonderfully resilient. So this is kind of an answer to that song, I Do Believe In. And Mercy Rain really talks about the broken wheel that is our culture and how we've become a culture where we find it easier to make fun of things, be sarcastic, close off, be cynical. And I think that we need to be much more open to the power of love in our lives and to the power of kindness and compassion. Maybe not a very popular stance, but I think that song, Mercy Rain, is, that's a very important thing.
Give us an idea of what we can expect at Magnolia. I know as a live performer, you like to get on stage, you like to let it go and give as much of you as you can. I mean, that's one of the things that you do.
Yeah.
Is that what we can expect when we see you on Friday?
Absolutely. I'm so excited about being in Guelph. I think years ago I was part of a show called Earlick, which toured around Southwest Ontario, and it was songs by Canadian poets that a wonderful band leader, Whitney Smith, put together. And I had the chance to sing those songs both with the late Diane Hetherington, who's a fantastic Canadian cabaret rock and roll singer, and also Louise Pitre, who later went on to wow people on Broadway in Mamma Mia. But this was a collection of songs by poets, which I thought, that's cool. But I think this is the first solo show that I've done. I guess what I can tell people about my shows is that, yeah, I like to go to very emotional and passionate places. I do not shy away from sad stories. And at the same time, I go on wild tangents that I don't even know where the heck I'm going when something comes to me. It's like I'm channeling some strange kind of alien radio station. And so as much kind of poignancy there as there might be in a show, I think people will probably be laughing a lot too, because I'm not the most reverent person when I get on stage.
It sounds like it's going to be a wonderfully engaging experience. That show, remember, takes place Friday, October the 24th at the Magnolia Cafe, which is 88 Yarmouth Street in Guelph. Check out folkrootsradio.com for all the details. If people want to learn more about your music, David, how do they do that?
You can find me on Facebook, Music by David Sarita. Be careful, though, when you're looking for me online. There's another David Sarita who is one of the foremost experts in UFOs. That's not me. I'm an expert in unidentified flying songs, but not objects. I do the unidentified flying songs. But yeah, it'll be great to work with Tyler. It'll be lovely to hear Tom Hamerton, whom I haven't heard before. He's going to be backing up Tyler. I'll just sing about stuff that's on my mind, you know, something that's been on my mind recently. And it's interesting, we come back to the whole thing about being gay as an artist. There still are not a lot of out gay performers. You know, when you think about the population and how many gay and lesbian performers there probably are, it's still not seen as a good career move to come out. But when you get out of, let's say, the music industry proper and you just get into the industry of making music, I was making music for a project called Be Our Ally, which was a theater and music and photography project up in the Owen Sound area, which dealt with homophobia in small urban and rural communities from the point of view of the kids. And I was able to work with kids in gay straight alliances up there in three elementary schools in Owen Sound. I'll just repeat that. In three elementary schools in Owen Sound. These kids were from grades as young as grade 5 through to grade 8. And we came up with, through a bunch of discussions over a number of weeks, talking about what they cared about and well, what does it mean to be gay? And some of these kids had same-sex parents, right? Gay parents, lesbian parents, bi parents. Some of them were wondering about their own sexuality or wondering how they would be treated if they, I mean, they weren't necessarily being sexual, some of them, but they were thinking, well, what if I was? Would I like to be picked on just because of who I chose to love or be friends with or dress or whatever? And it was so inspiring to hear their outrage at why anyone should be picked on for being who they are. It was so wonderful. And I kind of felt I was coming full circle from when I was like, in my late teens and first starting to come out in my music. And here I am working, you know, how many years later? 30 years later with kids, young kids who've come and the culture has come quite a ways for a school board to actually say, yeah, let's bring in a singer-songwriter to work with kids in our GSAs in elementary schools. And so the song that we came up with made its way into the show, Be Our Ally, and it is one of the most poignant and uplifting songs that I've ever had the pleasure of writing, and it's one of the few co-writes that I've ever done. And that's called Beautiful, and it's spelled B-E YOUTIFUL. Because one day when we were brainstorming on all the blackboards in the music room, somebody had wrote BEYOUTIFUL and drew a big heart around it. And I looked at that. We were about to rub off the board, and I looked at it and said, whoa, that's really, isn't that beautiful? Because we're talking about how important it is to be yourself and to love yourself. You know, if you don't love yourself, you have to love yourself above all else. And so we spell the title of the song that way. And so even that doodle made its way into the song. And we're hoping actually this fall or in the spring to record the song with the kids that wrote it. And I'm also wanting to do a version with other artists who believe that love is love. And so I'm looking forward to doing that and releasing that on my own as well. And so the co-writers are students in the Gay Straight Alliances who go to Sydenham, Bayshore, and Hillcrest Elementary Schools in Owen Sound in the Bluewater School District. And a couple of weeks ago, I was out in Edmonton doing a benefit for the Pride Center of Edmonton, and I sang this song, and there was a silence that fell over the room when I said that I co-wrote it with students from grades 5 to 8 in Gay Straight Alliances in Owen Sound, Ontario. There was like a hush, because in Alberta right now, a private member's bill was, voted down when they wanted to actually make it safe for Gay Straight Alliances in schools. Here in Ontario, it's the law. But because education is a provincial thing, in Alberta, it's not mandated. And so without that mandate, a lot of kids, unless you're in a larger center, are getting left out. And they do run the risk of being bullied, dropping out of school, thinking about suicide, staying in the closet, running away. So in terms of working on this show, I learned a lot about how risky it is to suppress who you are. But some people have to do that because it's not safe for them. And it's up to us as a society to make every school, every community a safe space. It's another reason why I love making the music that I make, is because I think that there are ways to tell these stories within a song that will reach somebody on a different level than, let's say, a lecture or an ad. A song goes into the heart and the mind of somebody, and you can, and the humanity of us in a song and somebody singing to somebody something that's considered and heartfelt has great power. So I feel really privileged to have been a part of that project.
We only have a few seconds left. Mm. What song are we going to play then?
You could play anything you want, Jan.
Well, I was going to play Mercy Rain, but I'm starting to think we should play Beautiful.
Why don't we? It's a very simple rendition. It's just me and piano singing these thoughts that came to me in working with these kids.
That's wonderful. David Sarita, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Remember, David Sarita will be in Guelph on Friday, October the 24th for a show at Magnolia Cafe with Tyler Wagler. The show starts at 8 p.m. You can get all of the details online at folkrootsradio.com. We'll leave you with Beautiful by David Sarita. This is Jan Hall for Folk Roots Radio.
Thanks. Bye.
Pressure's here to stay. Wish it would go away, 'cause I feel it every day. Please stay away. I just got betrayed. Wish I could walk away, 'cause it happens every day. Just walk away. Afraid to be who you are. Don't be afraid to shine like a star. love yourself, know yourself, trust yourself, know yourself, love yourself, you're beautiful. Be you, be you. So many ways they hurt you with a word, a fist, but whatever comes today, remember this. The past is the past. Tomorrow is another day. Let the past fade away and think of this. Don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't be afraid to shine like a star. They say you're not beautiful. I know you are. When you star, when you know yourself, love yourself, know yourself, trust yourself, know yourself, love yourself.